Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Royal Rumble preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to this weekend's Royal Rumble premium live event. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT Dubai, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to the Royal Rumble this weekend, which myself and Phil Chambers will be doing a live stream for on our YouTube channel. I'm really excited about this year, mate.
I can tell. I want to compliment you on the almost like early 90s Vince McMahon rolling gravel you added to your voice when you said Royal Rumble. That wasn't like Wilborn doing a bit.
Nope.
That was just pure throaty enthusiasm coming through. And I like that too. I think like this is the, especially with WWE, this is the time of year where if you can't summon enthusiasm for the stuff that they put out, typically because it's loaded with big stars, and we'll get to them, it's loaded with huge consequences and stakes, we'll get to them, and it's loaded with like the few things that they can still do right, mm-hmm. and we'll get to them. I don't know what WWE is for, other than listening to your favourite podcasters talk about it,
yeah.
which is what it's always for. Always. Just to make it very clear to anybody that's given up on Raw and SmackDown, the premium live events. It's always for listening to the podcast or the reviews. We will watch it, so you don't have to. But in terms of actually watching the show, this is the time to tune in, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I, you know, the amount of Laps fans that I know or friends of mine who, you know, just watch wrestling when it was popular and never really sort of Laps, they just sort of didn't really watch it anyway in the first place, they still go, oh, end of January, it's time for the Royal Rumble. And if WWE are going to hook those sorts of people, now is the time to do it. And I think this card may well do it.
Yeah.
I'm excited, not just because it's the Rumble, but for this card, I think it is all killer, no filler for me personally, even though, you know, a few of the matches seem relatively straightforward. And you know what the other thing is? Bloody moving graphics they've put out on Twitter.
This is your thing this
time.
Oh,
yeah. That's a bit of me, that is.
You and Ben Roy Turner, I imagine. Really,
it's a
really
very ruthless aggression.
It is,
of.
Yeah.
But also Seth Rollins is having a lot of fun with his.
Well, he's like doing a sort of scrappy-doo, let me at him, to Roman Reigns, isn't he?
Yeah. So should we do this? I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do all the matches, and then we'll do the Royal Rumble matches to conclude.
Okay.
That might make things a little bit easier. Let's start, just looking at the Wikipedia page, with the first match I can see. And that is the Universal Championship match with the Usos banned from ringside, Roman Reigns versus Seth freaking Rollins. We've not been a huge fan of the build for this, and yet you write Reigns and Rollins down on a bit of paper and you expect big things.
Yeah, although I am glad we're doing the review, the preview in this order, because I want my enthusiasm to rise as we go along, and it's not terribly high for this one. I've got concerns over this. It's, and maybe I shouldn't, maybe they're all founded. It's Roman, it's Seth, it's Shield Law, it's all that theoretical good stuff. But the problem is that it is theoretical. We've not been presented with the former Shield brothers coming together, let's just have a big Barney of a match feeling in the build. We've kind of resorted to quite lazy WWE tropey stuff. Seth Rollins comes out and with no obvious plan, just says, I'm going to beat you, Roman, because that's what I always do. Mm-hmm. And then Roman, with no obvious retort other than his goon squad, says, no, you're not. It's like a lot of that. Like, I know there's been more in. I'm not saying that's literally the case, but if you really dissect the words of the pro, that's pretty much what it's boiled down to. And then Roman Reigns makes what on paper appears to be an idiotic choice by forcing the Usos out of the match by costing them that tag match by disqualification on the last SmackDown we've watched, because for those listening to this after Friday SmackDown, we are recording it before, so we can't speak to whatever goes on in the go-home show, but I can't imagine them reneging on that specific stipulation. I don't think they'll roll that back now, because I think, as we've both sort of suggested, that might factor into another match on the card. So I just don't know. I want this to work. I want this to go well. I really wasn't a fan of Roman Reigns versus Big E, another Roman Reigns title match that passed without interference. I thought it was a major letdown. I thought they got the result wrong, but I thought it was a major letdown regardless. I don't expect Roman Reigns to lose here, and I kind of hoped he was going to at the Survivor Series. But it does give me some concern that this heel Roman character, who is so great against a baby, not an underdog, but a baby face that you kind of don't fancy the chances of, means that Seth Rollins is pretty much going to have to drop everything to make this match work. Everything of this drip god character, everything that is kind of like the scrappy-doo nature of that graphic, even him being a bit silly, him doing the mind games, all that's got to go for this match to work. He's going to have to brock it up a little bit, you know, like he's got to be that Seth Rollins to make this match work. Maybe he will. Maybe that's what he'll like revert to.
What if he comes out on Saturday with a blonde streak in his hair?
I mean, there are people listening to this podcast that are no longer wearing the trousers they were that has the phone in their pocket because they've just spooged them right off.
Like, does all this, I'm going to beat you on Friday. And then Saturday shows up and he's like, I'm not pissing about.
Seth Rollins once said that he was so pleased to get rid of that because it was an absolute nightmare to keep the blonde streak.
I'll bet.
I will, however, with it being the Rumble, offer you Flak Jacket Rollins.
Ooh.
And that's, but it's like a drip god version. You know, it's got like all sorts of
blinged out.
Yeah, like a bells and whistles flapjack that he takes off the flak jacket, and he's still got like the combat pants, but they're quite fun as well. They've got like little details added to them.
He's got the whites.
Oh my god, tearaways. A tearaway shield outfit. Because now they've seen Jeff Jarrett master it, they know that neither of them can pull it off. He needs to ramp up the babyface stuff to make the match work, I think. And we've not really seen that yet. So I don't know. Look, here's what we've got as evidence that this is going to absolutely rule. For as much as the Shield breakup didn't always guarantee total bangers, everybody remembers the Spear pedigree reversal. Everybody. From their 2016 WWE title match.
Yes.
Nobody talks about that match they had on SmackDown where the Fiend's head popped out the ring and he looked like a whack-a-mole. Remember that? Nobody mentions that because that was babyface versus babyface. So that's my concern over it being heel versus heel. The fact that they need to be on different alignments this to really work. I hope Seth embraces that. Kevin Owens could play a factor, I guess. Kevin Owens could like try and help Seth win. And again, that kind of knackers your dynamic a bit because Roman's got to fight from underneath. I expect Roman to retain.
Yes.
But one championship does have to change hands.
Well, if you've read the notes for this podcast, you will already know, listeners, that we are picking the other world title match for a screw job potentially. So we'll talk about that in due course. I hope there's a nice moment maybe seen on the show with him and Owens backstage. I don't want Owens to get involved for that exact reason and just have a great, let's say, 15-20 minute match where it looks like Seth might win it, but it's the new Roman Reigns, the god, wrestling god, whatever he's calling himself now. And he eventually just wins because he's Roman Reigns. And as we always say, he does everything he can to try and stack the deck against his opponents. And then the thing he's got in his back pocket, the ace up his sleeve, is, oh, he's mint. He's just mint.
Yeah, I could see it.
So he beats Seth Rollins there. In fact, let's do it now.
What about Rollins playing mind games by changing his entrance up slightly? And instead of all the burn it down and all those like strange drip god noises, you just hear his voice, his cackling voice going, Sierra, Echo, don't tell me, Tits, Hotel, Seth. Nah. And it's like a little play on the Shield.
Because for me, I have Seth Rollins in my WrestleMania card right now. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens versus the Usos for the tag titles.
Love it.
So I don't want any issues between Owens and Rollins to affect this. And you can easily follow it up by, the Usos going, ha, you didn't win the title. And him being like, all right. Be coming after those, though.
Yeah.
And they have to get that, get that there, whatever. Because there's no other tag teams left.
No.
SmackDown, no offense to the Viking Raiders. Let's switch it up then. Let's move over to the other championship match on the men's side of things. WWE Championship, Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. And this is a screw job I am 100% here for.
Yeah, short, sweet, and screwy would be how I'd like this to go. I think I want this to be 5 insane minutes. Absolute chaos, carnage. The day one match, but with 2 men instead of 5. everything we could have dreamed of from 2 giants that do things that giants shouldn't be capable of doing. Just all the visuals. I just want, like, not to sort of just paraphrase or outright steal from our best friend Big E, but I just want to see some big meaty men slapping meat. Mm-hmm. I want ginormous upper body muscles to crash into one another like waves. I want Paul Heyman and MVP, respectively, to be horrified at the sight of what their charges are doing to one another. And I would like the inevitable screwy finish to not involve Bobby Lashley in a particular way. So the screw finish we're referring to is, of course, the Usos coming out and attacking Brock Lesnar.
They're not barred from ringside on this match.
Exactly. So they're there to enact Roman's plan. Now, what I would like to come from this are 2 things to give us something on the back end of the Royal Rumble. I would like Paul Heyman's face to tell the story of his, is he shocked? Did he know this was going to happen? Because is he back in with the head of the table? Day one has bought them somehow an opportunity to extend the Heyman thing to WrestleMania.
Yep.
What a freebie, right? What an absolute freebie. Thank you very much, COVID-19, for that one. Paul Heyman now theoretically could drag who's he with all the way to WrestleMania, which will be a huge hook. So Heyman having that moment of realization of my new plan is actually working. I'm going to be back in Roman's good books, or does he sell shock because he was all in with Brock and we don't know and he doesn't. That's all pretty cool. Maybe one of the Usos shoots Heyman a look and we're supposed to infer what's that look all about. But I don't particularly want Bobby Lashley to have had much to do with it. I think they were on the verge of like getting him over as a big babyface on Raw with the Hurt Business stuff, with the guy with like Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander attacking him. And him wanting to do this by himself and him kind of getting a little bit, not pissy with MVP, but feeling like all of this was fluff and bother and nonsense. Mm-hmm. He's winning the belt because look at him. He's awesome and he's hard and he's class. And I would quite like to see the remains of the Hurt Business obviously taking Bobby Lashley out and distracting him. And that's when the Usos strike. They see an opportunity. They deck Brock. Lashley dispatches of the Hurt Business on the other side of the ring, walks back in and finds Brock prone and is just like, right, you are then. And then hits him with a Dominator or slaps on the Hurt Lock or whatever, and Lesnar's like, he doesn't tap because it's Lesnar, but he's just passed out.
Yeah.
Droop's dead in the Hurt Lock. Referee awards the match to MVP, to Bobby Lashley, and then MVP is obviously pleased, relieved, and then you start to have them two come apart as mm-hmm. the weeks go on. I'd quite like to see Bobby Lashley going into WrestleMania as a babyface world champion, if only because Roman, typically this is a time of year for heels to have belts because it's, you know, Rumble season and stuff. But Roman can feel quite, understandably, oppressive as a heel, as this Universal Champion that can't be slayed. So it's been quite nice having Brock as a babyface champion as a counter, hasn't it? As it was Big E. So I'd quite like them to kind of try and keep that up with Bobby Lashley as well.
I don't want to see that, but I do want to see everything else you booked, which is Bobby Lashley defeating Brock Lesnar. Again, people often forget the Rollins cash-in at Mania.
Mm.
Like, Brock and Roman kick the crap out of each other before that.
Yeah, Brock battering Roman and Roman trying to grin through it to get into Brock's head was... is it still the best match they've ever had? I think it might be.
Yeah, possibly.
I don't think they've topped that yet.
That's what I would have them... But going both ways, obviously, with Bobby Lashley, and completely agree that it's not... Brock's got this match won and he's just titting about. And then
yeah, I don't want that. Yeah.
No, I want an even match, and it's just the involvement of the Usos... Yeah, maybe even following Bobby Lashley, taking the referee and distracting him with getting rid of the Hurt Business involved in it. But Bobby Lashley leaves as WWE champion. Does Brock Lesnar go on to win the Rumble? You'll have to stay listening to find out. We'll get to that in due course. Let's talk about the Raw Women's Championship. Can Dujab shock Becky Lynch for you?
No. Absolutely.
Sorry.
Absolutely not. But the Royal Rumble used to always exist for title matches like this. Doudrop, Liv Morgan, and others like them on Raw are the challengers that are not for now, but for later. So they can have these matches, as Liv Morgan did, where they lose, but it's not just back to the back of the line. It's, well, that happened. It wasn't a complete disaster for you. One of these days is going to come around again and you're going to use... I'm talking about an effectively booked wrestling company, not in WWE where everything means nothing. But theoretically, when they come around again, it's, oh, well, I learned from my experiences the first time, I'll try again the next time. Becky Lynch had that exact thing with Asuka, in fact. Remember when she beat Asuka at a Royal Rumble? Perfect title match for the Rumble, because it was like, you were the one person I could not beat at the Royal Rumble the last time.
Yes.
So I'm going to beat you this time. Like, really, really good stuff. And yeah, the thing with this is, I really hope that they can establish very early on Doudrop as a babyface to get behind. I don't think anybody in the building is going to believe she can win the belt, and fans back winners, and we've seen it in every building. What they really want to do is back Becky Lynch again. They've missed cheering Becky Lynch. So I hope they can get behind Doudrop, because I think if they do, this could be really good. Becky Lynch, and I think I was the first one to dare drop this hot take, and it was when she was all dressed in white against Bianca Belair, just had one of the best matches in-ring wise of her entire run and has continued that streak. She is really like locked in to working as a heel. She finds a little escape. She finds the little shortcuts, the little cheat codes, but she employs all her old spots into ways that you'd never really noticed them before, as like nasty, devious tricks rather than a fiery comeback. Yeah. That she was as the man or as the last kicker. Really, really enjoyed her work. Doudrop, I would say, is underrated in terms of what she brings to the ring, because her character has kind of overwhelmed it. But if you actually look back at the matches, the Bianca Belair stuff in particular, you could see why she's so valuable as an asset to this roster. I think this could be really, really tremendous. They are possibly pushing a boulder uphill with the fan alignments. They really need Doudrop to be cheered for this to work, because I think Becky Lynch will work the coward escape match to try and get Doudrop over as like a proper threat, like a danger that she is frightened of.
The biggest problem you might have in this, because I agree that there's a danger there, and I completely agree that Becky Lynch remains Raw Women's Champion, which will factor potentially into my Women's Royal Rumble booking in due course. But like, the potential is when she eventually gets her up for the Manhandle Slam, that gets a huge bap.
Yeah,
and you don't want that.
No.
But, yeah, it's going to be really interesting how they work the dynamic of this, because, yeah, they've sort of tried to babyface Doudrop in the meantime. I'm not sure how it's worked and how it will work on Saturday night. But I hope, yeah, it's another one in those list of matches of, well, we all know which way this match is going and the title staying where it is, but we are going to have a bloody good 15 minutes whilst we watch that happen. Right, before we get to the Royal Rumble matches, we should conclude with the Grit couple versus the It couple. No doubt that this is a one done for this sort of match, isn't it? Edge presumably moving on to, I don't know, maybe AJ Styles is some people talking about at WrestleMania. And The Miz doing some of the great stuff, because he's really underrated by a lot of people and should be given more opportunities. Big matches, in my opinion. Not world title matches, but you know what I mean. So, this is straightforward, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just nice, this, isn't it? This is the match that when Edge and The Miz first kind of went mano-a-mano in that, let's be honest, lightweight version of the CM Punk MJF promo duel, this was what we wanted, was this mixed tag match. And I think the build has justified that want and desire. The match at day one was drab AF. The build to get there was almost too cheesy for its own good, because you needed the cheesy stuff for this chapter. Like, Edge dropped goo on him before you even got Beth Phoenix and Maryse involved. Mm-hmm. And goo was way more on brand with the second half of this stuff, wasn't it? Like, they were kind of serious with each other, and Edge was like, goo. So he kind of foreshadowed that we'd get to Beth Phoenix and Maryse before that. But I've liked this, in spite of myself and in spite of some of my tastes. Miz just gets everything over. He just carries everything. Edge and Beth are super cheesy, but they seem to have leaned into it. They know way more. Edge, I think, was trying to juggle being a bit of a banter merchant and the most intense guy in the building. And I don't think that really resonated, but this has. Him and Beth Phoenix have no problem being kind of a bit of a cheesy married couple. And why not? You know, I don't want any of those segments where it was like having it listen to your mom and dad having sex when they were talking about each other. Like, Edge, you better stop talking like that. Otherwise, I'm going to fuck you right here in the middle of this ring. Edge. You know, like, I don't want any of that ever again. But otherwise, you know, like gym selfies together, those kind of like, dare I say, almost like Steiner Brothers poses they do because they're both jacked and awesome. Like, it's sweet. It's their marriage. It's their union versus Miz and Maryse's union, which is this one that we kind of love to hate between the two of them. It's like, God damn, you two are so frigging perfect for each other that, like, you just, you're necking on and we're annoyed with it. You know, like, it's, there's something pretty great about this, but keep it simple. Beth Phoenix does all the awesome physical stuff to Maryse. She gets what's coming, and then the match ends when Beth Phoenix nails the glam slam on the Miz.
I like that. I especially like that is, and I'm, this might be a bad idea because it could potentially babyface Miz, but I like the idea of him recognizing, I've just kind of just dropped my wife in this. So she goes to glam slam Maryse and he's like, just do it to me.
Yeah.
Just do it to me. She's done. I'm done. We're all done here. I'm sorry for everything I've done. Clearly you're the better couple.
So I want to steal a spot from what many people consider one of the worst WWE pay-per-view matches of all time. But this one match had an incredible spot that I think would be perfect for this match. So anyone that's ever watched the Royal Family versus Clowns R Us from the Survivor Series 1994.
It's a deep pull.
Yeah, it's Jerry Lawler and his little kings versus Doink, Dink, Wink and Pink. Better times. Doink puts Dink on his shoulders and Dink's doing those scrappy fists. Put him up. And Lawler's like, all right. And then he wants to get on one of the little guy's shoulders so that he theoretically, with his much bigger fists, can absolutely knock out Dink. The visual is absurd. The little fella falls over. Lawler goes flat on his face. What a prick. Imagine Beth gets on Edge's shoulders. Somehow they arrive at a situation where Beth is on Edge's shoulders and they're like, right, chicken fight. And Miz is like, go on then, Maryse. And he tries to get on Maryse's shoulders because he's like ready to go. Man are we, woman are we with Beth Phoenix.
I love that. But yes, the grit couple emerge victorious.
Yeah, why not?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Right, let's get to the Royal Rumble matches then. First question, actually. Which of these Royal Rumble matches do you think main events? Because as far as my memory serves, the last what were we in? 2022, 2021, 2022. 3 years have all been the men main eventing, correct?
2018 was the women.
Yeah.
2019.
Rollins.
See, it should have been the women because it was Becky Lynch winning, wasn't
it?
But it was the men. So yeah, 2018, the first one is the only time they've done it.
And then what was, it was 2020.
2020
was
Drew and Brock. 2021 was
Edge.
Again, 2021 probably should have been the women. Bianca Belair should have closed the show. Well, up until about 4 days ago, I felt pretty sure it would have been the men because of rampant historic misogyny. However, do you know what's cooler than rampant historic misogyny? Real stars. And not only do they exist in the match, but they've also aligned potentially for the match. So I'm going to say the women's match is going to headline. Does that mean we're going to talk about the men first?
Yeah, let's talk about the men first. 30 Men Royal Rumble. We know at time of recording 22 names. Only a small number, actually, from SmackDown. Sheamus, Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss, Sami Zayn, and Kofi Kingston. Johnny Knoxville, and then all the rest is from Monday Night Raw. So that's 22 of the 30, as I said.
Yeah.
8 potential. I hope there's no more added on SmackDown. I'm worried there will be, but we are going to get some surprises. First of all, let's start with not the elephant in the room, but the bunny in the room. Is Bad Bunny popping in?
they advertised his tour, didn't they?
They advertised his tour. There was some rumor I read on Twitter, and it might be bollocks, about, like, Oh, using a code word like Naughty Rabbit for our special guest, and it's not Johnny Knoxville we're talking about. It's like, it's Bad Bunny then, isn't it?
Do you know what would be pretty funny with Bad Bunny? Is see, rap's easy. is if he came in, he drew a number, and the first thing he does is help out Damian Priest.
Yes.
And it's like this nice moment between them, WrestleMania. And then Damien's face turns. Bad Bunny doesn't recognise the guy in front of him anymore.
Who's that?
Because that ain't Priest. Yo, Priest! Who's that? Is what he says to
him. I'm sorry, Priest isn't home right now.
And the camera does what it did with John Cena and Randy Orton. All in the and it pans so you can see the WrestleMania sign in the background. And the tension bubbles up and the crowd go absolutely wild. And it's Damien versus Bad Bunny. And Bad Bunny does not know what deep he is in. But then it's okay because we get your spot where Priest eliminates Damien.
Yeah.
And saves Bad Bunny. I'm saving you from myself. yeah, something with Damian Priest is nice because obviously the Miz is working on the undercard and John Morrison is gone despite helping Bad Bunny construct the spot of the evening. So like a callback with Damian Priest is quite nice. It's not a bad cameo because he only needs to be in there a couple of minutes. We've got Johnny Knoxville farting around. I think the reason they haven't announced the, you know, like some of the women in the surprise one, as I said at the time, were named because they've probably got bigger surprises in their locker.
Yes.
I think they've got two big surprises in their locker, but because of that, I don't think they're super confident to name the other ones, which is why they haven't done that similar kind of announcement. I think they're still on the phone. I think they're still trying to, like, if they can't get them, there's still enough men that they can just drop in. You know, I do wonder if this is going to be Veer's debut.
Mm-hmm.
You could have Veer debut. You could have him and Omos be theoretically unstoppable, and you can set up feuds with one or both of them as a result. And maybe that's why he's not yet come, because he's going to explode on Saturday. but I got two surprise guys, if you'll indulge me.
Yeah.
The first one, we've already alluded to it, is Brock Lesnar. The likelihood of him just taking a spot. And don't even think that you need to do the thing that they've done before where poor old R-Truth, or once upon a time, Scotty Too Hot, he gets attacked to lose the spot. If you remember the year that Roman Reigns entered number 30, having lost a Universal title match, he just did. Who's it going to be?
Oh, I remember.
Who's it going to be? It's Roman Reigns. Like, you've told your story before. We've seen fan videos of people, like, going to beat the traffic early. And it's all... Now, of course, when Roman Reigns did it, it was all to set up the Randy Orton win, wasn't it? So this is why I've got Brock Lesnar entering at number 29.
Oh.
29? In the words of Schmitty from New Girl. So Brock Lesnar does what he did in 2020 and pretty much eviscerates the field. Everybody falls at the feet of Brock Lesnar. And what was initially a huge bap for that, you know, sting in his music has quickly become, oh God, like I had two favourites in there and Brock Lesnar has just chucked them out. Like Big E is a big one to go. Let's say Brock comes in and after he's thinned the field, Big E is out of there and people are pretty pissed about that. So they start... They start booing Brock Lesnar because he was in there for a little while. He was becoming a big favourite, all that sort of stuff. So you got Brock Lesnar left. And what they've done quite neatly is pivoted away from the fun-loving Brock to a guy that kind of ruins your fun and ruins your night. And we're staring down the barrel of Brock Lesnar heading all the way back to the main event of WrestleMania. Number 30, glass smashes. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Whoa!
Full gear. Comes out, goes face-to-face with Brock Lesnar. For years, that was left hanging off the back of that pretty awesome promo Austin cut in that Paul Heyman podcast, where he says, well, if you're asking me if I'm going to put my boots and trunks on to fight Brock Lesnar, blah, 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 blah. All these years later, he's finally answered, yes, I'm doing that Survivor Series, ridiculous, this can't possibly happen, but let's all get fucking excited about it. Steve Austin, Brock Lesnar, a brief exchange, fisticuffs. Brock Lesnar is so shocked by what he's seeing that he's kind of like backed into the corner, fist and fire, stomping a mud hole, walk it dry, blah, 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 blah. Runs the ropes. Brock ducks the Thez press. Sets Austin up for the F5. Austin slips off. Kick. Wham. Stunner. Bounce. Brock over the top rope.
Wow.
Steve in Austin is going to WrestleMania. Why? Because it's in front of 100,000 people in Dallas, Texas.
Jeez.
And he's not going to take some food off somebody's table. He's going to take some beers. Roman Reigns, you're in trouble. Oh, no. Brock Lesnar works the Andre. So then they fix him out.
Wow, I don't know how to follow that up. And to be honest, I don't have a number 30 entrant in mind because I don't have Brock Lesnar in it.
Ooh, okay.
I have Brock Lesnar doing what Shayna Baszler did before going to WrestleMania, wrecking everyone in the Elimination Chamber.
Does that mean you're just going for the big happy ending with the Men's Rumble?
Yeah.
Yes!
I'm still.
That's what
hopeful.
I really want.
You're telling me there's a chance. He's there. He's in the match. He lost the title. He got not screwed, but he was meant to have a one-on-one match. Then it became, you know, handed through.
He's been pretty narked since he lost. And he lost clean to Seth Rollins. We have to ignore that. But he's been pretty narked.
It doesn't matter. This is a great reset. It's the beauty of it all. I don't know why who I have at number 30 as a result, because people go, oh, it's Brock Lesnar. Hmm. And if it's not, I don't know. Maybe Pat McAfee. Bollocks.
I don't know if you watched a little post-Dynamite promo with a guy I like to refer to as the truth teller. A little fella called Cody Rhodes. Yeah, he was spitting some truths in a post-match promo. He lost the TNT title. I don't know if you watch AEW. It's like their Intercontinental title, but not quite as prestigious. And he lost some guy, I don't know, Sami Zayn or something. And anyway, he lost his ladder match. And he was just saying, you know, the reports you ran online are true. I am working without a contract, so I could still turn up anywhere. So if Stardust wants to point a little sign, he wants to get back on the right road, the road to WrestleMania. The cosmic wasteland awaits.
So yeah, I would have, in my dream Rumble, there's a few things that happen in the men's Royal Rumble, that is. Number one, Dominic Mysterio electric chairs his dad on the ramp from the ring somehow.
I thought like that was taken as red because we've been calling that exact spot on this exact show for 2.5 years.
We don't even need to mention it too much. Number two, fun stuff with Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn, it's going to happen.
Great.
Number three, I'll give it Corey Graves. It's not my...
Yeah.
Corey Graves takes his headset off, and then guess what happens? Next number, boom, Pat McAfee takes his headset off and gets in, because I want to see Pat McAfee in the Rumble, and it wins me pasty bet, along with Scotty Too Hotty being in the Rumble.
Cool, cool, cool.
And I've just figured it out as I say this. Big E wins. I don't know who eliminates last. Austin Theory, let's just say, to make things interesting. Right. Have that.
Final
number
three.
Number 30.
I've got him.
Number 30. What are you going to do? It's Brock Lesnar. If it's not Brock Lesnar, people are going to be furious. Not if it's Jeff Jarrett, they're not.
Oh, my God.
Glass smashes.
Oh, my God.
Jeff Jarrett comes out to Stone Cold Steve Austin's music.
Oh, and I did do that, oh, my God, in the tune of Jeff Jarrett's My World song. Of course I did, because I was just so excited there. Guitar shots everywhere. I'll give you a final four. I'll give you a motherfucking final four.
Go on.
Brock Lesnar and the New Day.
Wow.
And the three of them.
Wow.
And the three of them hoy him out. Final three.
Also, I saw a tweet. You might be able to answer this or not, and I'm apologies for putting you on the spot here. Big E ever won a singles match at WrestleMania?
Oh, geez, no.
No?
No. I'm going to say that with... I'm sure the Nigerian drum fight had to be his first one.
Yeah. So, you've got a great story there. That's why I'm keeping Bobby Lashley heel. Bobby Lashley's going to be there. I'm going to go into WrestleMania just like I did last year as world champion. Still leave as world champion.
Yeah.
Big E's going to be like, and that's how taken from me. Never won at WrestleMania in a singles match, but I've won the Royal Rumble. People doubted me. People might think that, just like my friends, I'm a B-plus player. Well, that's not happening this year. Wreck you, Bobby Lashley. And we just get that hoss match that they can have, these two, at WrestleMania. It's not going to be a main event, unfortunately, but it'll be a... God, if they did the old, you know, like, I know they do a two-night thing, so it's slightly different. Mm. But imagine that as the fucking opener of WrestleMania. WWE Championship, Bobby versus Big E. And you put the title on whoever's Bobby's facing. No offense to, you know, what happened before. But yeah.
So I'll put you on the spot a little bit, because I dropped this on SmackDown and I'll stick to it. Let's talk about Kofi Kingston's elimination.
Ooh.
So I've got this year, for those that didn't listen to our SmackDown review, Madcap Moss stood on the apron, and then Kofi is flung over the top of him, but he holds on to Madcap Moss's suspenders, his braces.
Right.
And he's holding on for dear life, and he's pulling. His feet are on the apron too as well. And then he does what's effectively a makeshift German suplex, where Madcap Moss goes to the floor, but Kofi lets go of the braces and clings on and sneaks back in the ring.
I can't really better that, so I'm just going to keep it relatively simple and just say, because he's back this week, King Xavier puts his robe down.
Yep.
And it's just the same as the bit where he steps on the pancakes.
But it's a robe. Like you would for like a sort of a queen's... Yeah, like to stop them stepping in the mud or something.
Would have to step... Excuse me, my lady. Keith Lee in the rubble. Excuse me, my lady. Please don't step in this bottle.
Excuse me, my lady.
Right, there we go. Anything else we need to cover? Mysterio's inviting Johnny Knoxville, Sami Zayn. I don't even want to pitch anything for that, because I'm just excited to see what they do.
Haven't we said the SmackDown fist on the high five machine?
Yeah. Who's the other question people are going to ask? Who's the Iron Man of it all?
Oh, don't know. Can't think of the field.
Got him there.
Let's have a little quick look.
Riddle?
That's a shout, yeah, because there's a cool RK Bro spot in there if you want it. Yeah. Vince McMahon really, really likes Sweaty Riddle.
Let's move over to the Women's Royal Rumble, which you and I are pitching two main events. Usual names from sort of Raw and SmackDown. Then we've also got Nikki Bella, Brie Bella, Lita, Michelle McCool, Kelly Kelly, Summer Rae, and Mickie James involved. I think if we'd recorded this podcast a week ago, you and I would have sat here and said Bianca Belair goes back to back. There's also questions about who eliminates Charlotte Flair. Mm. But let's start with the headline. Who heads to WrestleMania after winning the Royal Rumble match? Michael Hanford.
Well, it's going to be somebody with an alliterative name.
Ooh.
But I just cannot decide, because here's the thing, right? We did assume that Bianca Belair was going to go back to back, and we did that because that would be pretty cool. Nobody has done it since Steve Austin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a historic. It's only Austin and Hogan and Shawn Michaels, sorry, but it's only those three. I mean, what company she would keep? But it at least kind of, I don't even want to say put a bow on it at this point, kind of almost made good what happened to her at SummerSlam. She goes back to a big stadium, back with big time Bex on the stage that Becky Lynch told her she wasn't ready for, and beats her. Mm-hmm. Great WrestleMania story. Really, really good. We already saw how powerful it was to see Bianca Belair thrive on the main stage last year with Sasha Banks. So I have no doubt that her and Becky Lynch would tear it up in that spot. And yet, as we record this 4 days ago, the news breaks. And the news did break, but we had enjoyed daft speculation about this. So
I've been saying it for a while.
We did it on a podcast, because if I remember correctly, before Christmas, we were trying to determine what WWE had as a WrestleMania main event.
Yes.
And Becky Ronda was one of the only things we could come up with. It's like, what have they actually got? And they've got that. They've wisely preserved it the first time round on the off chance Ronda would ever come back. And now here we are. Reports are that it's as good as done. Ronda's going to be around. I imagine. Look, she wasn't shy about praising the Saudi Arabia deal, so she'll probably work that show, paid handsomely to do so. WrestleMania, you could drop her in anywhere, and it's a headline match, and we could be getting something with The Rock, for all we know. You know, like, that was always teased, wasn't it? I know Triple H, we assume, get well soon, maybe not working
yet,
but maybe something there. So maybe we're all thinking she's going to get plugged back into directly. Is it too easy to say that she's going to win the Royal Rumble? Is it more about Bianca winning and then them repeating the spot? So Bianca Belair is celebrating just like she did last year, pointing at the sign. And then Michael Cole has to do the, wait a minute, what? Because we've already seen Ronda out because they've cut the wrong camera. But like, and they do it all over again where Ronda's back and she's smiling and she's pointing at the sign. And it's like, it's deja vu, Cole. Blah, blah, blah. But not this time. And Bianca Belair gets hit with the Piper's Pit. And we're left wondering, like, what is going on here? Like, she could have come out and won the Rumble, but she hasn't. She's attacked Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair's got the shot. Mm-hmm. But what does this do? What does this mean for the road to WrestleMania? Is it not too easy to just have her be number 30 or number 27? For the huge shock, the huge pop of the music hitting, Ronda's there in her gear, and she goes on to win the Royal Rumble. I'm not against that, but does it not leave a bit of mystery in the air if she doesn't?
I get that, but it's...
But you think she's going to win?
Second Rumble.
Yeah.
And I've booked Jeff Jarrett at number 30, the other one. So I've got to do something big. I'm going Ronda, number 30. Let's say, they don't have to be number 28 and 29, but the last two people remaining. You could have some other goobers in there for maybe Ronda's chuck out.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all going, oh, here we go. Deja vu all over again. Mainly because I won half of this. I really wanted to book her a lot better. I'm not talking about Bianca Belair here. Which speaks even, think about the ground this covers.
Yeah.
Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley, still there, staring each other down. Can help. Same again, year later, battering each other. They're both the Iron Woman again. They've chucked out, I don't know, six people each or whatever.
That's good.
Oh, and there's still a few people, bodies lying about, but it's basically between those two. Oh, well, guess it's going to be one of us again. Are you reputation? Oh, now Ronda Rousey's here. And out you go. Bye, Bianca. Bye, Rhea. Bianca wins. Ronda wins. Goes on to face Becky Lynch one-on-one at WrestleMania, as they should have done three, four years ago. Because I just don't see outside of Bianca Belair. And there's an argument to be made, and this sort of nicely transitions into the other part, that Bianca Belair doesn't have to win the Rumble or do something at the Elimination Chamber like her book with Brock to get into a WrestleMania title match, because there's a world champion in this match, and for once I'm not talking about Mickie James.
No, although she's there. Yes, the Charlotte Flair thing, legitimately another really cool wrinkle to this match. You could have, if you wanted, and I think people were probably talking more about this before the Ronda knees broke, but you could have Charlotte go the distance. You could have her be the last person eliminated. You could have her attempt and nearly do it to see through the plan that she's laid out to win the Royal Rumble, to give herself a night off. It's a really cool thing. I personally would like, because Brock kind of laid down the template, I guess, I would like to see Charlotte enter relatively early, maybe like 9 or 10, dispatch of a few of the sort of the early competitors.
Dana Brooke.
Yeah, like stake.
One champion eliminates another.
Oh, very good, very good. Like stake a claim a little bit on the match and not like make it seem easy, but just think, yeah, I've got a bit of a way to go, but I'm feeling pretty confident. I'm feeling pretty cool. I've got this under control. And then what you get to do is, and Mickie James is going to be one of the people I would suggest this, they have quite nicely lined up a number of people who can eliminate Charlotte. So I would have enter about number 9, number 10, clear out a little bit of the deadwood to the point where the ring's nearly empty, and do that thing where she's stood in the ring, centre ring, looking pretty confident, like awaiting. The ring doesn't have to be empty, but there's bodies down, and she's kind of ready and waiting for the next competitor, and then Lita's music hits, and you get a really, really cool standoff.
That's the title match I'd book for Charlotte at Mania.
Well, you get a really cool standoff between the two of them, and then maybe Lita folds into the match, or maybe Charlotte just eliminates her outright, and it's like, oh, god damn it, Lita was going to be great. That would have been really awesome. And then you get Naomi enters shortly afterwards, somebody else that's been having like a mini rival with Charlotte. Huge bop for Naomi because she's going to get this big response. This is going to be a chance away from the pressure Sonya Deville. And again, Charlotte manages to just about cling on, just about hold on. Deville enters next, and it's Deville and Naomi, and they split off. And Charlotte, much like how they booked Ric Flair in 1992.
Yes, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Other things have happened that have just about like allowed him to stay in the match. And they do that sort of 2 or 3 times with the people. Mickie James will be another great one because you'd be like, you are wasting a golden opportunity to not have two champions facing off at the same time. That's a cool moment.
And you don't have to have your WWE champion stand tall here.
Yeah.
We get it. I'm not going to turn off and start watching Impact.
Like, but even the just two of them facing off, like the commentator saying, what an incredible moment. The Knockouts champion and the SmackDown Women's champion, nose to nose in the middle of the ring, blah, 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 blah. And again, like, Mickey comes close, but then she's thrown out. And Charlotte's getting, like, gradually more and more knackered, but also that wry smile's coming across face. You're in to about the numbers 20 to 24 at this point. So, like, she's kind of dealt with a big one. Huge pop next for Asuka, who comes out, and Charlotte is like, oh, no, not you again, da, 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 da. Big kicks, big danger, big damage, blah, blah, blah. But again, yet again, there are other people in the ring. Like Asuka sort of folds off into the match. She's like another person that Charlotte can feel like, Jesus Christ. Now, I'll give you your Rhea, Bianca, and Ronda finish. So those guys need to have been like lurking in.
I kind of want what you're about to say, I think, as well.
So Charlotte is starting to think, I've cracked this. There is absolutely nobody, especially not anybody from my past, that I need to worry about. Bailey! Goddamn Bailey! Still heel Bailey, but the heel Bailey we all lost before the crowds came back that were dying to cheer her because she was so goddamn fantastic during the pandemic and didn't get a goddamn crowd that she deserved. Huge bap for the return of Bailey, who has just got the game face on, and Charlotte has forgotten all about one of her very former best friends, a horsewoman no less, because she's done the math on the fingers. Well, like, Becky's already wrestled. Sasha's not injured. I ain't got anybody worried about. Nobody else on my level. And Bailey eliminates Charlotte Flair and stakes a claim for that match at WrestleMania. And again, because of the credibility and the quality of the women that are in there, you can have somebody, you can have an Asuka eliminate Bailey, or you can have a Mickie James or whomever. Lita, if she's still in there, right? Bailey and Lita, like, Bailey would probably love the opportunity to get 5 minutes in there with Lita. So loads of really cool combinations. I haven't even considered if Nikki Bella, and the Bellas were on about wanting to come back full time. Like, Nikki can go. Like, I want to see if there's anything that she wants to set up. Michelle McCool, like,
yeah,
finally gets the opportunity to prove that she's the best wrestler in the Callaway household all along anyway. Like, there's a lot of really interesting moving parts. It being WWE, they could kind of turn it into the equivalent of the smile and wave on a legend show and waste a lot of them. But you can generate interest here with so many different little combinations. And I like, it's the match I'm most excited about by quite some distance.
Yeah, I think the women's match is far bigger this year, in my opinion, than the men's, disregarding a potential Brock Lesnar involvement, of course. But I love that. Do you know what I was going to book for Bayley? Babyface Bayley returns, and the Bellas are the ones standing tall, because I thought it was bollocks what they did to WrestleMania.
That would be cool.
And it really wind up my wife, because she really likes the Bellas. I'd be like, yeah, but here comes a proper wrestler. See ya!
You know what Orange Cassidy did to Adam Cole? Bailey grabs him in a double hug and does a double Bailey to Bailey on both twins.
I'd love to see that. Any other questions I need to ask you about this? Natalia breaking the record for quickest elimination?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. 8 seconds, isn't it, or something?
Yeah. Is that what it is for the women's? 8 seconds?
I believe so.
They've not quite hit the Santino Marella Warlord.
Liv was like 8 seconds. I read on possibly a whatculture.com article, in fact.
She's going in 3 by Aaliyah.
Yeah, exactly. Or like 5, maybe. Yeah. Just give them a bit of wiggle room.
Yeah, they need something for a few years' time, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's about it. Naomi, I don't really want to speculate on too much because we have to see what happens on SmackDown prior to that.
Yeah.
And beyond that, oh, I know what I was going to ask you. Mm-hmm. The Forbidden Door lad in the men's.
Oh, I don't know. We'll go with Rhino.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what as well. One more announcement for the women's match. Paige. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
Look at Paige back.
That'd be lovely. Yeah. I'm really excited. The surprise entrance for this year's Rumble matches are intriguing, to say the least. As if I needed anyone's encouragement, this podcast has got me fired up for Saturday night.
Let's go.
Saturday, well, as well.
Yeah, I know, I'm away. I'm not going to get to watch it until Sunday night. No spoilers on Twitter, please.
But we will be here on our YouTube channel, myself and Bill James, doing a live stream. And no doubt me and Phil will be jumping in here, or Andy, or whoever's in the office doing some writing will be in here to talk about the fallout from it on Saturday night. So subscribe to What Culture Wrestling for all that. And let us know your thoughts ahead of the Rumble on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at...
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, enjoy the Rumble. Join us for it on our live stream on Saturday night on our YouTube channel. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, including our review of the show in the small hours of Sunday morning. But for now, this has been the Royal Rumble preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.